the number one hit music station. More music, more variety. Welcome to The Alternative. Playing today's new country. Oh, sorry, I was just practicing. I'm Matt from Matt Fogarty Voiceovers. I know you want to listen to your podcast, so I'm going to keep this super brief. If you're a program director and you're looking for a fresh sound on your station, hit me up. I'll do a free, no-obligation sample for you, and you can get a really good sense for how I'll sound on your station. Get in touch at mattfogartyvo.com. I'm seriously sitting by my computer hitting refresh right now. Email me. Do it.
This is the Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundel. Broadcast talk in Sound Off mode.
We are live to a hard drive. This week, Ronnie Stanton, who's the VP from Alpha Media, we will spend a little time with him today talking about the classic hits format, moving from Australia to Canada and now to the United States. Full disclosure, I worked with Ronnie for 2 years starting in 2013. So if it sounds like we're catching up, it's because we are. The Sound Off Podcast is brought to you by Nlogic and their new cloud-based application, Lens. They recently unveiled the new campaigns and schedules portion of the program. So when you log into it, you can see it. Lens removes significant manual work from rekeying campaign data and schedules to exporting files and PDFs, leaving you more time to make money. Now, in short, the agencies can send broadcast salespeople requests for submission, and you could start creating schedules based on those campaign parameters. From there, you can use Lens to submit the schedule for approval, and soon you're going to be able to trade back and forth until you're ready to make that booking, making selling life just that much easier. Nlogic listens to both buyers and sellers in order to make the process go as smoothly as possible, so your feedback is always welcome. Their latest update reflects that, and if you'd like a free trial, you contact your Nlogic representative today at nlogic.ca.
This podcast is researched for quality assurance purposes. Take a Podtrack survey now at mattkundel.com.
By the way, the latest episode of this podcast is streamed always at radio.today. I checked out the site. It's loaded with radio news from around the world. They've got RSS streams from All Access and Radio Inc., FMQB, just to name a few, as well as some trades from around the world. That used to be In Radio. They appear to have rebranded to radio.today. Still out of the UK, and still a fantastic resource for radio people. Now, someone else who also gets around, but in a radio way, is Ronnie Stanton. He was awesome on the air at Sunshine Coast as the morning show, one half of Chrissy and Ronnie, won national awards for best on-air team in 2005, number one with a bullet on the radio. And you can say that because if you added up the share from number two and three, combine them, it still doesn't beat number one. In 2006, Ronnie was named Australian Program Director of the Year by industry magazine The Music Network. And in 2008, moved to Vancouver. He joined Astral Media and was a part of flipping 95 Crave to Virgin Radio. He left for Chorus to run two rock stations in Vancouver, CFOX and Rock 101, as well as work with all the morning shows at Chorus across Canada. Then he left for Alpha Media late last year, and I am more than obligated to ask him about that.
I think that if you think of radio stations as restaurants, you can often cut through the clutter and get to the real nugget of what's wrong or what's right really quickly.
I love the restaurant radio analogy. It has so much to do with what radio does, what we serve, what's on the menu, what brings people in, and why they leave and don't come back. One of my favorite meetings with Ronnie when we worked together was dealing with multiple Italian restaurants in a market. And what brand of Italian were we going to serve that was better than the others? It is lesson 37 of his radio lesson series, and you can find it on his blog at ronniestanton.com. What was it that attracted you to Alpha Media and making that jump into San Jose?
I always wanted to do U.S. radio because, you know, it's the biggest pond. That's the primary thing. And then when you make the decision that you want to, scare the hell out of yourself and move country again and learn new things and all of that, then you have to work out what company you want to do it with and where you feel like the best fit is. And I love Alpha. I think Alpha is small enough to still be nimble but big enough to be important. There are pure play radio company. They love radio. They believe in the medium. It's all we do. So So you get a laser focus with that I think as a company, from the top to the bottom, makes everyone sing from the same hymn book. And there's a belief still that great product makes the cash register ring. And I think that's a really encouraging piece, particularly in a country like the States, where so many radio stations are radio stations in a box that come piped in from somewhere else, with a morning show from Market X and a afternoon drive show from Market Y. And, you know, it's cool to be with a group that does that. And then San Jose, wow, you could do worse than live here. So San Jose is just south of San Francisco. The whole Bay Area is kind of one big city, which has its ratings challenges because it's an embedded market. But as a place to live, it's amazing.
I was going to mention there's a lot of cultures and a lot of communities. Oakland is in there as well. Then there's San Francisco, yep. and then yep. Silicon Valley and San Jose.
Yeah,
there's a lot going yep. on.
Oh yeah. So the when you look at population areas, the largest county is Santa Clara, which is kind of the guts of Silicon Valley, and it sits closer to San Jose, but between San Jose and San Francisco. And yes, there's so many people here. There's so much going on here. Where I'm standing right now, I'm 150 meters from the Adobe building, which is where PDFs come from. And, you know, Facebook's up the road and Apple's around the corner and the Google campus is, 10 minutes drive. It's cool.
One of the stations you are overseeing is KBay 94.5. Is that correct?
Yes, we gave it a coat of paint on Christmas Day last year and made it 94.5 Bay FM, holding on to the heritage of Bay and also the delicious connection to the Bay Area, but wanted to signify enough change without scaring off the audience. We were a bright AC, kind of following the coast model a little bit from LA, but a very crowded lane, so we moved to the classic hits position, and it feels really good.
Classic hits has really evolved in the last couple of years. It's evolved more in the last 2 years than it did in the previous 13, and we just had the 15th anniversary of classic hits as a format. Why is it evolving so much at this time?
You know, I have a theory there, and I don't want to seem overly fluffy, but I think the planet is kind of in a bit of shit at the moment. You know, the weather's worse, the politicians are crazy, everyone's trying to blow everyone else up. And I think there is, whether it's an active or a subconscious comfort in listening to radio stations where you know the words to every song. And I think fundamentally, that kind of cocooning in the music that is comfortable is one of the pieces of the puzzle that has made classic hits so powerful in the last few years. And all over the continent, all over the world, in Australia, classic hits is doing very well. In Canada, obviously, Boom in Toronto is doing very well. In the States, you look at K-Earth in LA, you look at CBS in New York, classic hits is a big thing. Now, maybe another piece of that puzzle is that current hits, you know, we all know that the cycle for top 40 hasn't been overly kind of late. New albums from Katy Perry and Ed Sheeran certainly helped that, but it's been a struggle for a while with top 40, where with classic hits, you know what you're dealing with. There's a finite number of the best songs. You tailor them to your market. You put energetic radio announcers on that connect to the moment, and off you go.
I would tend to agree with you. And let's also remember that the format was born, you know, in the years shortly after 9/11, and everybody went to what was familiar, which is classic rock and country. Everybody sort of found their way over there. And then this other format was born out of that. I find though, there's a lot more, the music is continually evolving on the format, which is nice.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, there's iterations of classic hits too. There's classic hits that lean classic rock. There's classic hits that lean very pop. There's a station in San Francisco that plays nothing but 80s. So, you know, you can have a 70s classic hits. You can have a 80s classic hits. There's, you know, there's classic hits that play lots of 90s songs. I guess it won't be long before classic hits include 2000s songs as well. You know, we're only 3 years away from 2020, at which point songs from 2000 are two decades old. They count as classic hits. So the malleability of the format is cool too, because you can center it in a decade that makes sense in the market, and then you've got a huge shopping list of the best songs to play.
In your short time in the States, have you noticed any programming nuances or behavior that you say, oh, wow, that's interesting?
Well, I think I'm doing a really good job at assimilating. You know, I already put ranch dressing on everything, and I own three guns now, so it's brilliant. I think people all over the world, when it comes to the radio, they just want to be entertained. So play the music that you know is right for the format and the city, and then have great personalities on that connect them to both the radio station and the place they live and the moment, and it kind of works. But there's certainly nuances. There's regulations that are different everywhere you go. Obviously, when I moved to Canada, I had to get my head around CanCon and the systems of, you know, playing a minimum 35% Canadian music. In the States, there's no musical regulations like that, which is amazing. I often look at the classic hits log on Bay FM and go, okay, there's something not right here. This looks too good. But it's because I spent 9 years looking at CanCon.
Okay. This reminds me of the time Ronnie and I were talking about the absurdity of the hit-non-hit rule in Canada. You might think that rule was swept away back in the late 90s. But no. It sadly still exists in Montreal and Ottawa for English-speaking radio stations. Ronnie used a book analogy to describe it. He said that programming radio under this rule is like going to a bookstore and bringing 12 books to the front and being told to return half of them because more than half cannot be bestsellers. And after you do that, you come back to the front and then you're told to return more than a third of the books because they aren't Canadian. It's true. The CRTC actually legislates that English radio stations in Montreal and Ottawa must play 51% unsuccessful music or music that just hasn't succeeded yet. Success being determined by going over 40 on the charts. There's a few other small rules and nuances intertwined, but that's pretty much the gist of it. That's what makes program directors from other countries go, "Wah?" And by the way, the song you're listening to, it's Australian. See what I did there? This part of the show is brought to you by the cloud-based paperless studio system, PromoSuite Next. For over 25 years, you've known PromoSuite as radio's original promotions management system, helping promotions teams and programmers manage their contest winners, liners, sales requests, remotes, prize fulfillment, and much more. Today, over 2,500 radio stations across the United States and Canada use PromoSuite Next to control the chaos, reduce paper, and reclaim the time you really want to spend creating great radio campaigns. To learn more, go to promosuite.com/soundoff. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. Ronnie was telling me about how radio in the States is just a little bit different at times than Canada.
In the U.S., there's a political correctness that I think makes morning shows often more sanitized. And I think breaking through that is what the good ones do. And then there's a regulatory piece that's kind of interesting. There's a public affairs commitment that has to be upheld by every radio station. Most stations run a 30 or 60 minute talk show on music stations, usually at like 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning, where someone will do interviews with charitable and public service events and foundations and things happening in the local area. But beyond that, it's pretty deregulated, which means that, you know, you can play the best songs and talk about the most important stuff, and let the audience decide.
You know, I wrote down a whole bunch of questions, and it really was going to wind up being, you know, who'd you rather, the old morning show bit where we just ask you to pick one or the other. Was it harder to cross the street in Vancouver and go from Astral to Chorus, or was it harder to move to the States?
That's a great question. I think professionally so far, it was a great challenge going from Astral to Chorus, because when I moved into the rock world that is the Big Black Tower in Vancouver, where Rock 101 and now the world famous Sea Fox live, I had dipped my toe in rock over the years, but I had never really done it. I had never really programmed a classic rock station. I had a pseudo kind of rock station in Australia for 10 minutes, but I'd never really done it. I wasn't particularly familiar with the music. I'd never heard of AWOL Nation. I didn't know any of Rush's songs except for the big ones. And, you know, like that was a learning curve. And it was a learning curve to both get my head around how best to do rock in terms of best practices and shared knowledge, but also innovate kind of what was in my head as the best practices that I had picked up along the way from Top 40 and pop programming and folding those into rock. That was a challenge. And I think we look back on our careers and we celebrate the finest moments as maybe the biggest hills to climb and then the ones that we got to the top of. So, you know, having never done those formats and truly making Rock 101 and Sea Fox powerhouses in Vancouver again was a thrill and humbling and something that I will look back on for years. The States so far has also been a challenge, but in different ways. There's the fundamental kind of social challenges, because I'm Australian, obviously, and Australians act this way. And then you move to Canada and you have to adapt and turn things up and turn things down within your own personality so that you fit better within the Canadian culture and your Canadian friends and Canadian workplaces. And then to move to the States, you feel all that again. And then particularly moving here in such a strange time, in such a tumultuous, weird, fascinating piece of history that we're witnessing, no matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, it's a crazy time. The country's divided, the world's divided, and you know, the whole Trump thing is—it's a challenge to navigate, whether you're at the bank or in a workplace,
and especially on radio. Well, in radio,
especially on radio.
Yeah, he's turned the apple cart upside down, especially on radio, because talk radio's got a little bit of rejuvenation, but even talk radio doesn't know how to sort of capitalize on this gain.
Right. He has made the New York Times subscriptions popular again. He has challenged Joe Average to take notice in what's happening in the world. Again, whether you like him or hate him. And I think that has rejuvenated talk and news radio products and news TV products. CNN has the best ratings it's ever had. I watch CNN like often during the week. I'm addicted. Like, you become addicted to it. It's a train wreck you can't look away from.
Yeah.
And but through that, there's the whole fake news thing too, and the damage, potentially long term, that's going to do to us as an industry when the guy running the country tells his fans that they're being swayed with news that isn't true. And yeah, it's a huge can of worms, Matt. But then, just to finish the initial question, in terms of difficulty moving to the States, it's a learning curve wherever you go. And I think it's arrogant and it's wrong to walk into any radio station, whether it's across the street or across the world, and believe that the stuff that you've done is the only stuff that matters and that you have all the answers, because no one does. I don't. and I'm listening more than I'm talking, and I'm learning more than I'm teaching. But that's a thrill. And if you can subscribe to the theory that we're better together than we are alone, then by putting someone new in the group, we're going to get stuff out of it. And I think the experience for me of doing this again in the States has been awesome. And, you know, the company is supportive, and we're already having some wins. So it feels good.
Yeah, we're in the age of acceleration. And pretty much by the time you finished explaining to everybody what you know, it's already changed.
Right.
Consulting or programming?
Ah, what a great question. I'm very fortunate to get to do both. And they both have merit. As a consultant, there is no accountability. Sure, there's some accountability, but there's not a hell of a lot. You know, you want to do a good job by your clients so that they re-sign you, so that you continue to have work. But on a day-to-day level, there's no accountability. You're not the GM, the PD, they're at risk if the radio station tanks, because the consultant can always point to bad local execution or all of those things that we joke about in consulting circles. The other side of that coin, though, is that being a consultant can be frustrating because you don't have the hammer. You can see the path. You can see what seems to be the right answer, whether it's your own or there's a consensus that it's the right answer, but you don't have the stick to get it from being a great idea to on the radio. And so accordingly, as a consultant, you recommend as opposed to mandate. And that can be a frustrating disconnect, because you can often see what should be done, but it isn't always done. I guess the payoff for that is the accountability piece. But the thing of consulting that is such a thrill is that you get to touch so many different radio stations and so many different markets and so many different formats and people, and while helping radio stations all over the world, you're also growing as a radio professional yourself, because as much as you're delivering best practices to clients, you're picking up best practices yourself. Now, as a programmer, there's a day-to-day thrill in putting your head on the pillow and knowing that radio station X sounds great because of you and your team's hard work. And that's a piece that you don't get as a consultant. But the downside of programming day-to-day is that you have that accountability, that it's on you. If there's a bad book, the lights turn on you, the CEO calls you and says, what happened? So there's all of that. There's the minutiae of the local bait and tackle client that wants to spend $1,000 on the radio station and get a promotion. There's all of that stuff that you have to deal with. But I think to wrap up the answer, there's great joys in both of those roles, but they're different. They're very different jobs, even though they seem on paper so similar.
One of the things I really like on your Facebook page is how you'll go on and just give a movie review. It seems when the movie comes out, you're watching it on the first day, and then I know whether I want to go see it or not. So thank you for all that.
No, my pleasure. Yeah. I'm here to serve.
I do want to ask you, though, are there any podcasts you're listening to or radio on demand that you're constantly going back to?
When I listen to podcasts, I tend to listen to podcasts for entertainment value and for ideas more than I listen to podcasts for academic knowledge, which I probably should do more. But by the time I'm driving home, which is typically when I would listen to a podcast, I kind of feel like I want to be entertained as much as I want to be informed. I love Hamish and Andy from Australia. They are slowly getting a worldwide footprint of just being very, very clever at what they do. That's a bit of a go-to for me. There's a morning show here in San Francisco. They work at Alice, Sarah and Vinny. They do a show they do a podcast where they're kind of dirty almost. They're a great morning show, but they're obviously playing within the boundaries of what's acceptable for a morning show. They do a podcast kind of every couple of days that's a bit naughty, which is fun. And then in terms of the academic stuff, I'm a fan of your work, Matt. You do a great podcast. I love Larry Gifford's podcast as well. I think there's you can't put too much information in your brain, so listen to everything, and you'll find a nugget in everything you listen to that makes you better tomorrow than you were today. So it's worth doing.
Ron, thanks a lot for taking the time here to be with us on this podcast.
It's my pleasure, and it's nice to hear your voice, Matt.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Cundall.
Hello, Matt.
What are you wearing?
Oh, track pants and a sweatshirt. What are you wearing?
Same.
Oh, okay, cool.
By the way, that is how not to order show prep from Chica Rebecca. This may be why she doesn't give out her phone number and would prefer that you go to pepperprep.com to order your show prep. This gives her more time to provide you with topical on-air content to better your show, on-air, online, or for podcast, and all done at an affordable price. There's a pay-per-day option for those times you need occasional prep. She's got clients from around the world like Dubai, Cayman Islands, Canada, the U.S., and a whole bunch more. Services like podcast editing, podcast air checks, and social media consulting to better that social media presence. The best part is that it's all free right now with a sign up at pepperprep.com. And that's the podcast for this week. My thanks to everybody at NLogic, and congratulations on your new cloud-based application, Lens. Contact your NLogic representative today at nlogic.ca if you'd like to get a piece of that. We also aired a Creative Commons piece by Springtide. They're from Australia, just like our guest was. You can find that at the freemusicarchive.org. The music, not the guest. See ya!
The Sound Off Podcast was produced by Evan Sierminski and recorded in the master studio of mattcundallvoice.com. Please rate and review episodes. It will help others find the show. To advertise on the podcast, email soundoff@mattcundall.com or download a rate card from the website and follow us and like us wherever great social media content is shared.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com. And listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all had.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.